I don't even know who I'm talking to anymore. I'm already confused.
And I'll just wait till I hear the rest of your question, then I'll come to some conclusion and respond appropriately.
It's the Deseret News Rise and Shout podcast, episode 296. I'm your host, Adam Mangum. In this episode, Matt and I preview the Utah State game. Is this a must-win for the Cougars? I think you probably know the answer. Can we finally turn it around and find some offense against the Aggies? Also on the show, why do I say the word Hawaii weird? And what happens to the coaching staff if BYU can't turn this ship around? This is the Deseret News Rise and Shout podcast. Get this podcast and other great shows at deseretnews.com/podcast. Follow us on Twitter at BYU_RiseAndShout. And listen to Matt and I talk about, well, caffeinated beverages right now. So Matt, the biggest news in all of the land. We're going to talk about it straight off.
In all the land.
In all of the great land. Caffeinated beverages are now available on BYU's campus.
Woohoo!
So, here's the thing. I've seen a lot of, you know, debate about this and different things. And here's all I can say to anybody that's disappointed about this news or think this is the wrong thing. You're wrong. Absolutely wrong. Okay? You're absolutely wrong. Matt, did you drink a caffeinated beverage in salute of this new policy?
I drink a caffeinated beverage almost every day, so it's difficult to say it was in salute of this new policy.
I would say it is.
But let's just be clear. Next time I'm on BYU campus and I have a caffeinated beverage, it won't be the first time I had a caffeinated beverage on BYU campus.
Well, those weren't disallowed. You know that, right? Like, there was nothing you could bring, as I often did, a fully loaded Dr. Pepper on the campus.
Fully loaded. Listen, the fact that this is a thing is kind of embarrassing, but let's continue to discuss it.
Let's continue to discuss it. So our first tweet bag question refers to this,
man.
From Gary Payne, that's at FastBreakGP on Twitter. He says this, will the energy level of the home crowd increase? Matt? Do we expect a higher level of energy at home games now?
I do. It's going to be all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
It all depends on whether we beat Utah State, whether there will be any energy left in the next home game, Matt.
Yikes, let's save that for the preview.
All right. And then he has a follow-up question. Adam, is Pib Extra an acceptable replacement for DP?
We already know the answer to this. Come on.
Justin Sweeney.
Oh, Sweeney.
My gosh. You need a caffeinated beverage.
I may go get one. I may let you talk for a second, and I'm going to meander over to my fridge and get one.
He said this. There is no substitute for Dr. Pepper. Gary, here's my answer for you. Can you hear that effervescent wonderfulness?
Effervescent wonderfulness.
That's a pure Dr. Pepper right there. I will occasionally drink a Pib Extra or whatever they sometimes call it. But
is that like really in times of famine or desperation?
Yeah, in desperation. I will take that over a Coke or a Pepsi if I'm ranking caffeinated sodas. I will take it over that, but... But no, I never feel satisfied. I always feel a little disappointed after a Pib Extra.
Didn't it just used to be Mr. Pib? What's it with the extra now? I don't understand.
Basically, the flavor was terrible, so you got to call it something else when you change it.
So they updated the flavor, huh?
Yeah, it's like New Coke and Old Coke. You know, you got to come up with new names or whatever.
It was like Coke Zero now is Coke Zero Sugar.
Yeah, but I don't know. Marketers, and I say that as one, we're dumb. Right? We don't know what to do, especially in those kind of products. Like, what do you talk about? Like, it's healthier for... Oh, no. It's gonna make your life better! You know, we could do like... do you remember the jingle for Tab soda? For Tab? Tab cola, it's a beautiful drink. Tab cola for beautiful people. Do you remember that? Can you imagine that's what we used to say?
I don't remember it.
The thing said...
But listening to you sing it was priceless.
Tab is for beautiful people. Well, Matt, Dr. Pepper, it's just for really good people.
Didn't even rhyme. What's wrong with these people? Isn't it supposed to rhyme? I'm not like a songwriter, but
no, you're not. But I think its lack of rhyme was the least of its problem. So Matt, let's go on to the CougarFan.com Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News.
Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarNews.com. Matt, the women's volleyball team swept their first two conference games of the year, Santa Clara and San Francisco. They have Pepperdine. We're recording this on Monday night. I believe that is Tuesday night. 9-5 Pepperdine. And then the big showdown is this weekend at San Diego. San Diego is 17th in all the land, 9-5. And their only losses have been to ranked opponents so far this year for San Diego. So a challenge on the road for the Cougars coming up. Women's soccer bounced back again, two straight victories. They beat Utah Valley 3-0, and senior forward Nadia Gomes earned West Coast Conference Player of the Week, two goals against Kansas and one goal in the game against Utah Valley. They have San Diego also coming up this weekend. Matt, the NFL, we're not going to talk about everybody, but we're going to talk about three people, okay? Well, four people, because we always have to talk about Jamal. He had one carry for 6 yards, and Ty Montgomery is terrible. Jamal needs to get the ball. Free Jamal. Hashtag free Jamal.
Are they just waiting until they feel like Jamal's ready? What's the deal? Because Ty Montgomery's not a running back.
He's not a running back, and he was not good in that game and has struggled. He can't really break tackles particularly well, and I don't know that he reads holes. Like, he's fast and he's good in the open field. But anyway, Matt, Sorensen had a pass breakup, led the team in tackles for the Chiefs. Kyle Van Noy, you might have heard of him. He played every down again, led the team in tackles again. Okay? So, Kyle Van Noy, now granted, the Patriots are struggling defensively, but not because of him.
The Lions got rid of him just in time.
Yeah, yeah. Good job. Good job, Lions. And Matt, the last NFL guy we're going to talk about is Jordan Leslie.
Jordan Leslie.
Yes. First NFL catch was an amazing, I think, was it 32 yards, 26 yards? Kind of one-handed, the guy is all over him catch that took them down to like the 2 or 3 yard line.
It was an amazing catch. Probably the best play by someone in a Browns uniform all season.
Maybe in a decade. I mean, yikes. I'd have to look at the list, but it's not a big list. So Matt, let's talk about BYU football.
Here we go. Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So if you want to participate in the conversation on this show, you can tweet at us at BYU_RiseShout. You can do like Matt Quinney, who we're going to talk about here in a second, and post on Facebook. That's facebook.com/RiseAndShout. Or you can send us a good old fashioned email, RiseAndShoutPod, one word, RiseAndShoutPod@gmail.com. Matt Quinney asked, that's kind of confusing. Matt Quinney asked this: how do I get excited about this team again? Matt, not you, Matt, the other Matt.
I don't know who you're talking to. Are you talking to me or are you talking to Quinney?
I don't even know who I'm talking to anymore. I'm already confused.
And I'll just wait till I hear the rest of your question, then I'll come to some conclusion and respond appropriately.
Matt Mangum, we're about to show you why you could be excited about this team. We're going to get excited about this team.
Oh, we are. I'm already excited.
And let's start by talking about recruiting.
You and I always talk about recruiting. Recruiting takes time to bear fruit at BYU.
Yeah, but it's still good news. We can get excited.
All right, let's get excited. Are you drinking the magic nectar over there?
That's right, I am. So BYU got a commitment from quarterback Baylor Romney, who committed out of high school to Nevada and will be coming to join the BYU Cougars, according to his brother Gunner, who was a wide receiver who is also committed to come to BYU. He's a four-star wide receiver. We were super excited. You remember when he committed over the summer?
Can somebody named Gunnar Romney go to school anywhere else? I mean, really?
No, I don't think they can. Or Baylor Romney, for that matter.
Born to play in Provo, both of them.
Three-star QB is Baylor Romney. Dual threat guy, but 29 passing TDs and 70% completions in high school. Watch some of his highlights. He is a dual threat guy, but he seems like a good passer as well.
Yeah,
so that's,
dual threat guy with a real arm. I mean, that's a nice combination.
Now, Matt, the BYU thing is the BYU quarterback thing is getting a little crowded. Okay, you look at that. We have Zadik Dinkelman, and again, I love that that's a real name.
See, I want him to be good just for that reason.
Oh my gosh,
the name is so memorable.
Oh my gosh, like Dinkelman to Gunner for the touchdown. You know what I mean? That's wonderful. But anyway, so you have Dinkelman, who's part of the 2018 recruiting class, who's committed, and then you've got 25-star QB Tanner McGee, who has not committed but is somebody they want. Matt, do you ever worry about signing too many quarterbacks? I don't.
No, because you know some of these guys will go on missions. The timing gets all fouled up anyway with the quarterbacks. They'll redshirt a guy,
and somebody
doesn't work
good.
Out. Right.
Right? Like, it's just like if you sign three of these 3 to 5-star guys, one of them's probably not good, you know, when it's all said and done. You know, so anyway, there's that. So, Matt, Brigham Scarn on Twitter, that's at JJ_Crow3. Was JJ_Crow2 taken? I'm wondering. I don't know. Maybe there's more to that name that I don't understand. I've got lots of questions, he says. All right?
Apparently you have lots of questions about his Twitter handle.
I do. Why, how, who, when, please, for the love, save us, Jimmer, #tweetback.
Jimmer Fredette's not walking through that door, boys.
No, he's not. Nor is Steve Young or Ty Detmer actually will be walking through the door, but he can't
actually,
play.
And Steve Young might, depending on like the coverage for the game, but he mostly does NFL.
Did you see my little dig at Ty Detmer? Did you hear it?
Oh, I did. I did. I tried to gloss over it.
No. We'll get there. We'll get there here in a second. I'm catching some flack on Twitter for my I call it passive aggressive flack, where I'll tweet out something about Detmer, and then like 5 seconds later, people that follow the Rise and Shout account are saying, we need to stand behind the coaching staff. You know, but anyway. So Matt, let's talk a little bit about the team, some news from the team. According to basically every news outlet that covers and Kalani Sitake himself, nobody really knows if Tanner's going to play this weekend.
But I guess he's off of the motorized cart or whatever it was, so that's a good sign.
Motorized cart. I believe it was like a scooter. I don't
know. No, I think
motorized.
It had a motor on it. I think he could lift up his good leg and turn the handle and it would rev up a little bit.
So, Matt, we are all over the place tonight.
My kids had that motorized razor scooter.
Yeah, yeah.
See those things? I used to, when we lived in Texas, on a particularly lazy day, if my son was down at the end of the cul-de-sac, I'd get on that bad boy. I'd ride it down to the end of the street and go get him.
So wait a second.
One of the greatest things ever made.
You run half marathons historically, and yet you couldn't go down the street to get your son?
I was in a hurry. Didn't want to break a sweat.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ride the thing. Have you been on one?
I have not.
Cool.
Actually, I would like to. I have not. I have not.
And the whole way down the street, I would make that noise, like really loudly. All the way down the street.
So
the kids were so embarrassed.
I'm embarrassed right now, and I'm not one of your kids. But Matt, the big question is Tanner and Bo for this game, and we'll get into exactly how you feel, but is it a significant drop-off if Tanner's not there, do you think, for the BYU offense Friday night against Utah State?
I think people sure seem to think so. I don't know how big that drop-off really is.
It's
right
huge.
Now.
We'll get to that in a second.
It's huge. I think we have a tweet bag coming up on that, too.
Yeah, we do. We do have a tweet bag coming up on that, on my lack of the use of the letter H in
certain
words.
And all the syllables that you put in some other words.
We'll get to that in a second, but I'm actually, yeah, we'll get to that. Let's.
Oh, I know. I know. We haven't talked about it, but yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So Jay Drew, friend of the podcast, Jay Drew, wrote this, Matt. The BYU coaching staff overestimated, this is his analysis, Jay's analysis, overestimated the talent that we have on the offensive side of the ball. So Matt, did they overestimate the talent, or was that just coach speak? I mean, were they ever really going to say, wow, we just don't have the horses this year?
So I that's exactly what I thought when I saw Jay Drew's headline. And you go down into his article and you read down there, and the evidence that he puts forward for his claim that the BYU football coaches overestimated the talent was that they didn't seem to go after any skill players from the JUCO or graduate transfer ranks in the recruiting offseason. And so that's the indicator that they thought they had the horses that they needed to do what they needed to do. So I mean that's kind of his evidence that he puts forward for that. So I think there's a couple different ways to look at this. One is kind of where you started and go, listen, what are they supposed to say, right? Now we had a lot of conversations back in the day about Bronco Mendenhall managing expectations going into the season and giving people a realistic view of where he thought the team was and all these things. But if you're Kalani and company coming into this season, you don't really have any choice but to talk about how you're ready to replace Taysom Williams and Jamal Hill, right?
Did I really just do that?
It's funny because as it was happening, like I knew I had said something stupid and I couldn't figure out what it was. And it took me a minute. And then I was like, oh, I see what I did there.
Yeah.
Oh man, if you ever edited this thing, I wouldn't be as embarrassed, but I know you're not gonna edit that out.
There's 0% chance. Are you kidding?
I was on a roll too. Anyway, but my point is this. You don't replace Taysom and Jamal. Nobody does. Well, that's not true. Okay, top five programs do, but we don't. BYU doesn't reload like that.
No.
So
they don't.
I think we all need to understand that, first of all. Second of all, there was reason to believe that Tolu Tau was going to be the man. There was reason to believe that Tanner Mangum was going to step up and be really good. So, you know, did they overestimate? Did we all overestimate? Were there? And I don't follow recruiting as closely as some other people, and I'll go ahead and admit that. But were there JUCO running backs out there that were a good fit and were interested in coming to Provo?
But running backs not really our problem.
It would have been worth going after?
It's what everyone's really talking about is wide receivers. And if you watch or listen to Ben Criddle, he doesn't think the wide receivers are an issue. He doesn't think this group is any worse than last year. So I don't know. I don't know. This is, I feel like everybody wants a single answer, and there isn't a single answer. And Jay points out some of this in his article. They were going to do a bunch of two tight end stuff, and then MLP got hurt. Okay? And that would help the running game if those two guys were in there.
And Tolatau got hurt.
Which we didn't know, right? When we're just wondering, like, where is he and why isn't he in there? So that hurts. You know, and they've played three really good defenses. Right? Like, the reason I feel better about this season at this point is this, okay? I think the worst is behind us. I really do. And I could be proven wrong Friday night, for sure. But I think the worst is behind us, and it's not as bad as it looks. I think the statistics, even the advanced analytics ones, are skewed by the fact that we haven't had a chance to get things going against a non-elite defense. So I get what Jay's saying here, but the one unit that has surprised me, like I just don't think it played where I thought they were going to play, was the offensive line. I'm not that surprised by the running backs or wide receivers. Are you? Like we both had concerns about that position group in the whole offseason. So the fact
remember when we talked about the depth chart early on, I said, you know, do we have running back by committee because we don't have a starter? Is that really the situation we're in? And it appears that that was kind of the case.
Well, maybe it wasn't. If Tuilutau had been healthy from the get-go, I don't know. I don't know. All right, so let's move on to the next question. Let's see. So this is what, sticking with the offense, our brother Don on Facebook asks, are we starting to miss the go fast, go hard? No.
Nope, not even a little bit.
We didn't even do the go fast, go hard the last two years.
It didn't work either.
So, no, I'm not missing the go fast, go hard. Are you
missing Anai?
Of course I am. Anai was one of the best offensive coordinators we've ever had. I know people hated him. I still to this day, and you wanted him to be fired at one point, and we did, and then we were really grateful to have him back after Doman was the offensive coordinator. But he knew how to do, this is what offenses have to do. This is my belief, okay? You have to do one of two things, probably both, to be a really good offense. You have to be better than the other team as far as talent goes. That's a big help if you can get it. And if not, you have to out-scheme the other team. You have to be in places where they don't expect you to be. And you have to do one of those two things. If you're Alabama, you can do the first one. But even Alabama, if they don't do the second one against elite defenses, they've struggled, right, historically, until they brought in some offensive coordinators over the last few years that were elite offensive coordinators. You have to be able to figure out how to do one of those two things. Right now, we do not have the horses to just go, even against maybe mediocre competition, go blow them away offensively. So you got to be where the other team doesn't know you're going to be. And right now, every play we run the defense seems to know exactly where we're going to be. And that's a problem. Now, Criddle is saying, and would probably disagree with what I just said, in that he thinks wide receivers are open, and he's watching a lot more tape than I am. If that's the case, then it's a whole different problem, but it's that first problem where you don't have somebody that can execute, potentially, in Tanner and Bo. I don't know. AC Hutchins, that's Andre, at AC_Hutchins, says, when was the last time BYU was 128th, 129th in scoring offense in the country? When was the last time BYU's offense was this bad? I wouldn't worry about scoring offense, Andre. It's not all it's cracked up to be, but our offense is bad. So,
but at least Andre used the hashtag climb on in.
I didn't see that. I don't think he did.
You wrote it right there in the show notes.
Nope, don't see it.
I'm looking at it right now. You typed it in there.
Nope, I didn't type anything in.
You
just copied
put those
and
things together. You included the emoji.
Copied and pasted. The advanced analytics, Football Outsiders has us as 119th offensively. So not 126. It's way better than
it
seems.
No, it's not as bad as you think.
It's not as bad as you think, Andre. The answer is never.
Yes, it is.
The answer is, if this holds, this will be the worst offense BYU has had probably in our lifetimes. And I'm not exaggerating. If this ranking holds. But like I said, I don't think it will. I think we've played really good defenses. And we're going to, even though these adjust for level of competition, we just don't have enough reps against non-elite defenses. The answer is no, but I think this is going to be a lot more like 2010 or maybe 2004, 2005, maybe even some of those years after Detmer in the 90s. I think we're going to have this offense is not going to be an elite offense unless something drastically changes. Or elite. Not even going to be above average. Okay? But I don't think they'll be terrible. Right? And our defense is good enough to keep us in games if they're not terrible. Boy, this doesn't sound that. I said I was going to get Matt Quinney excited.
So far, that's not going well.
All right. So, Clark Early, that's at CL Early 33, says this on Twitter. What are the biggest adjustments we will see this week in all three phases of the game? Hashtag tweetbag. So, Matt, what's the biggest improvement you want to see this weekend?
They're going to run out of the gun and throw short passes a lot. and we're not going to exclusively run the ball on first down. That's what you're going to see on offense.
This is what I want to see on offense. I want Tua Tagovailoa to touch the ball 25 times.
I still don't think that's going to happen.
I think that's how you beat Utah State. I think we pounded up the middle on them and just give them a heavy dose of Tua Tagovailoa and run a little bit of option football too, to keep them honest. But, you know, I could be wrong. I've been wrong before once. I don't remember it, but I'm sure I have. But what do you think of that, Matt? I mean, are you against that, or you just don't think they're going to do it?
I don't think it'll work. I don't think the offensive line, even against the Utah State defense, is ready to. And if you talk, well, it depends. When you say 20 touches, maybe he catches a couple of passes.
No, I want him to carry the ball 25 times.
Yeah, that's not going to be successful.
Oh, I think it'll totally be successful.
I don't think we're in a position to block like that.
They've given up almost 200 yards rushing a game against terrible teams with offensive lines. I mean, obviously they played some really good teams too, but I think it could work, man. I think it could work. I might be wrong, but I think it could work. Actually, we'll get to this in a bit. I think our offense is just going to work against these guys. The fact that everyone's like, oh my gosh, they blew out San Jose State, we're in trouble. That narrative to me is insane.
No, that's not even comparable. There's no comparison in opponents there. We don't know if San Jose State's any good.
They got beat by Wisconsin as bad as we got beat by Wisconsin. Okay? They got destroyed by Wake Forest, who's probably a top 40 team, so I'm not denigrating Wake Forest, but they got absolutely destroyed by Wake Forest. They've beaten San Jose State and Idaho State by a lot of points. So, no, let's just stop with getting it, like, thinking that they're somehow an elite team all of a sudden, because they're not. They're still, you know, still a below-average team. But to be fair, maybe so are we. But we'll get to that here in a second. But in the box score, you know, San Jose State, they gave up 117 yards rushing to San Jose State. If you take out the sacks, it was like 140. Just saying, Matt. Just saying. Anything else there on adjustments you want to see? Anything on the defensive side of the ball?
I think defensively we're going to see more pressure on the quarterback. I think they're kind of starting to figure out that that's the way we're going to be successful. And that may mean that you might end up putting some guys out on an island, but if you can get back there fast enough, you'll be okay.
I think our guys are good enough to put them on an island against Utah State. We better be. I think Gamwaloku and Warner will be fine. Go get them. Go get the quarterback. I mean, we have not created any consistent pressure at all this season. And we got to on Friday night. Matt Hector Lives, that's at Naletto on Twitter, asks this: will a simple win improve the season outlook, or is something more needed this week to help us feel better after the first four games? Hashtag tweetback. By the way, Clark earlier also did hashtag climb on in. You missed that. I'm just disappointed in you.
Climb on in, Clark.
Climb on in. Climb on in. So Matt, and speaking of that, did you see what Sweeney sent us to?
No.
Did you watch the YouTube video?
No. What did I miss?
Basically, there's I forgot to put it in the show notes. There is a kid's book that he used to read his kids where there's the phrase climb on in it. So go check that out.
What, did he tweet that out?
Yeah, he tweeted it at me. I'll retweet it right now so folks can.
He tweeted it at you or at the BYU Rise and Shout account?
BYU Rise and Shout.
How did I miss that?
I don't know how you missed that. I forgot to put it in the show notes, but good time to bring it up because we did have a hashtag. Anyway, Hector Lives says, I already read the whole thing. So Matt, is a win just okay, or does it need to be something more? Does it need to be like a 2-touchdown win?
Oh, if we're going to start to just feel better about this season?
Yeah, if you're going to feel better.
I think it gets us on the right track if we win, but if you want to totally turn things around, you got to obliterate Utah State.
if we obliterate them, I think people will feel better, but it doesn't exactly, you know, it's not going to make people like, you know, scream and shout. But yes, it will make, if we win by a field goal, people are still going to be really worried about the rest of the season. And quite frankly, they might be worried about the health of the program in general. So Spencer Lindemann, that's at the LDSSDL on Twitter, says this: does Detmer's offense resemble a modern NFL offense or an older, maybe out-of-date offense back when he played? Hashtag tweetbag, hashtag climb on in. Matt, his offense does not resemble the good, the elite good NFL offenses today.
No, it does not.
I don't know that it
resembles an older, out-of-date offense similar to when he was playing either.
That's probably fair. You know, the modern NFL offenses that are really good, Packers, Patriots, Falcons, and by the way, you may notice they all three have something in common too. Elite quarterbacks. But they do a lot of, like, you know, and the Packers do this. All three of these teams do it. They have running backs go line up as wide receivers, bring the tight end next to the quarterback. They try to cause matchup problems, right? And right now, we're so vanilla, we're not... I don't ever see us, like, let's throw to Shumway against a tall, faster cornerback. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see any of that in this offense. The modern NFL is really about creating mismatches on both sides of the ball, and I haven't seen any evidence at all that we think about mismatches. And at this point in the season, there's enough tape on Utah State that we should be able to. The offensive coaching staff should know which corner we're attacking, which linebacker we're going to run at. You know what I mean? Like, they should know that. And if that's not part of the game plan, if it's just like we're just going to do our thing, then I feel like they are playing an outdated style of play.
And we certainly haven't shown anything that should give you confidence in our ability to do that, that we're just going to go out and do our own thing, right?
Right.
I haven't seen anything out of our team telling me that I think that would work. We've gotten lucky a couple of times on Bushman with matchups. It's difficult to tell if it's been developed or schemed that way, or we're going at people. But that seems to be in a couple of these games when we've moved the ball the best, is when you get Bushman up against somebody who just isn't a match for him to cover.
But here's the thing. Bushman creates that without you having to scheme for it because of his size and his skill level. So you don't actually have to plan for it. I would say, for example, like Trey Dye in the backfield, why hasn't he once gone out in motion and left an empty backfield against man defense? Because we've been facing man coverage almost all year, a lot of it, and now all of a sudden you've got Trey Dye on a linebacker. Where has that play been? You know what I'm saying? Like, Trey Dye gets in there and we hand him the ball and he goes up the middle. Like, that's not using his skills the way they're supposed to be used. I mean, that guy needs space, right? And we're not creating space for him. When he's in there, he's running feels like he's running the same plays you'd call for Squally Canada or Tuletau. But you don't want to call the same plays for him. Anyway, I could go on and on about this offense and how terribly it's run, but I'm not going to right now. Okay? Because here's the thing, I think the offense absolutely obliterates Utah State this week.
Wow, that's a big word. That's a big word, and I'm not just talking about how many syllables it has.
So, Matt, Utah State's defense is ranked 65th in all of the land. All right? Do you know what the rest of our defenses are ranked that we played against?
A lot better than that.
Utah State, 28th. LSU, maybe you've heard of them. They're ranked...
I saw them again Saturday night, actually.
7th. You went Saturday night?
Yeah, I went Saturday night at the Syracuse game. It was a great time.
Mississippi State. No, we haven't played them yet. They're 27th. Sorry. I was getting ahead of myself on my sheet here. Wisconsin, 4th in all of the land. All right? This This is not one of those defenses. So we're gonna get some more yardage, a lot. So let's talk about the Utah State game. You ready to talk about it? Ready to preview it?
Oh, I'm ready. Let's preview this bad boy. I think this is where things get excited.
This is where things get excited.
Quinny wanted to know. He's like, hey, let me know. And listen, and we've been talking history for the past several minutes. We've still been talking history. Now we're ready to talk about the future.
We're ready to talk about the future. Matt James Lowe on Twitter, on Facebook, asked this. How many points does BYU need to beat to score Utah? Need to beat Utah State.
I don't know
State.
What that means.
I don't even know what you're asking. You just call them Taysom Williams and Jamal Hill, so I don't need
that was so weird.
Catch any crap from you.
You sure you can't edit that out? That was so weird.
Yeah, Matt, I'm going to edit that out. Don't worry about it.
Listen, I'm extremely tired, all right?
You've been running lots of miles and stuff. So how many points do we need to beat Utah State, Matt?
I think we only need 17 points to beat Utah State.
I think we need 18 points to beat Utah State.
Oh, you're just trying to one-up me.
That is correct. I am trying to one-up you. All right, so let's talk about Utah State a little bit. They, according to Football Outsiders, are 74th best team in the country, which is kind of similar to where we're at. Let me go look that up for certain. Utah State is 74th. And BYU, according to them, is 89th. So we're below them, okay? The Massey ratings have it flipped. So that's not great. But offense, according to Football Outsiders, even after their massive game against San Jose State, they're ranked as the 89th best offense and the 65th best defense. Matt, let's talk about when they have moved the ball, how that has worked for them so far this year. They are, this past week against San Jose State, basically everything worked. Kent Myers, the quarterback, is completing 67% of his passes, but 4 touchdowns and 6 interceptions, so not great there. As a rushing team, they're only averaging 4.3 yards per carry, and that is basically a lot of Kent Myers, since he's averaging 6 yards, the quarterback, and has 4 rushing TDs, Matt. So basically, it is the Kent Myers show for their offense.
Oh, yeah, it's all about Kent here.
It's all about Kent for sure. If you look at the defensive side of the ball, they've had some pretty bad games against good offenses, and then their defense has been good enough against some bad teams. But they're averaging about 385 yards a game. Like I said, they're giving up 200 yards rushing a game. So I think that's their weakness. They've actually been better against the pass than they have against the run, at least statistically so far this season. But I'm not scared of their running game, except for when Myers is running the football, the quarterback. I don't think they're going to be able to establish a run against us, except for maybe out of the quarterback position. Matt, are you worried about Myers at all?
I'm a little bit worried about Myers, because traditionally we struggle with quarterbacks that can move around. I don't know that he's, what's-his-face from Utah.
Oh, I think he's better than what's-his-face from Utah, but...
Yeah, but we made that guy look like a Heisman Trophy candidate.
Only on, like, 3 runs in the first quarter.
But the difference here is I just don't know that they have the other weapons. And you're talking about a quarterback who's thrown 4 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. Their running attack seems to be pretty one-dimensional. They don't have a star wide receiver. They don't have a star receiver, period. I don't think that's going to that we can't handle defensively. So it's the one-faceted nature of their offense that really gives me hope here, because I think we've got the defensive personnel to put that to shut that down. I mean, not shut it down completely, but to slow it down enough to be to make a difference.
Yeah, for sure. Those are excellent points. I mean, you just have to go back. We played this team in November, right? And though our defense has changed some, we've got a lot of the same guys coming back, and I think some other things going on. They didn't exactly they didn't exactly light it up against us offensively last year. So I'm not really worried about their offense. Last year they had 200 total yards against us with a lot of the same players. And I know people say, well, but they got some rhythm with San Jose State. San Jose State is terrible, right? So do I think Utah State's going to get more than 200 yards than they did last year? Yes. Do I think they're going to get 400 yards? No. I mean, is that ridiculous? I don't think that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think that's ridiculous. I don't think their offense is very good. So, Matt, let's talk about over-under. Right now, Vegas has it at 3. The line opened at 4. So, obviously, the action is happening in Utah State directions. Do you like BYU by 3?
Nope.
Whoa.
I would not bet on that.
Whoa, I would if Tanner's healthy.
I don't think Tanner's playing.
I don't think Tanner's playing either. But if Tanner's healthy, I'd take him by 3 easy. We'll get to that in a second. Matt, does BYU eclipse over under 300 yards in total offense?
I know I'm only asking this because I know you have in front of you and I can't get to the window. What's the average been?
What's the average been? Like 200?
200 something, no, right? No, like no. Low twos?
No, it's been 250? Below 200, right? Where's my BYU Cougars?
You always have this stuff up. You always have this stuff ready.
I'm sorry. Once I don't. Why can't you have it ready?
Jeez.
Total yards, now, I'm sorry. Yes, low 200s. It's 221.8. I'm saying we get the over-under at 300. What do you got?
Under.
Over? Are you kidding me? Come on. We're going to have under 300 yards against Utah State.
Yes, we've got a quarterback who's got one start against Wisconsin, which did not provide a lot of really good experience, I don't think.
Yeah, he was running for his life a little bit.
And nothing in here that I've seen over the last couple of weeks is screaming to me drastic changes. You know, I mean, I did read the article that was out about the players only meeting that they put together for Monday last week.
Do you think that means anything?
It only means anything if a couple of those things were apparently said in the meeting are real. And apparently there were some comments in that meeting about we need to be playing video games less, we need to be in the film room more instead of goofing around in the players' lounge. Now, that could just be player talk, right?
Yep. It's hard to know.
But if that's really a problem, then yeah, that could make a difference. But here's the scary part, is if they come out Friday night and, as you're saying, obliterate Utah State, And we discover that, man, that conversation really did make a difference. That's a problem.
That is a cultural issue.
You have a cultural problem at that point. And I don't think that's the issue here. I don't think we have a bunch of players, especially the starters and some of the older players on this team, that lack dedication or lack focus or lack commitment to the program. I just don't think that's the problem. I think it's a good opportunity to show some leadership, rally the troops a little bit. But I don't know that there were massive behavioral issues that really needed to be corrected here, right? This is probably just a good opportunity for the players to regroup. That all being said, I haven't seen anything here that's telling me we're going to see a massively different team Friday night than we've been watching for the past month.
Whoa. I'm not saying that offensively. I just think we can eclipse 300 total yards. That's not some like high bar.
It's a 50% increase almost.
Yeah, but this, again, it's all a matter of who we're playing, okay? We're not playing one of those defenses. This defense is closer to Portland State than it is, now it's better than Portland State, but closer to Portland State than it is to any of the other defenses we've played.
Maybe, but Bo's not starter ready.
Yeah, well, that's fair. I don't think we're going to score a ton of points, by the way. We'll get to that in a second. 350 total yards for the Utah State offense, over under.
Under.
I am going to go under as well. So, Matt, prediction time for Utah State. Who you got?
I got the Cougs in a close one, baby. Final score is 17-16.
All right, here's what I've got. If BYU has Tanner Mangum as the quarterback, this is 27-17.
Oh yeah, with Tanner, if Tanner's in and Tanner's healthy, that really changes the game.
If he's not, I'm going 21-17, three touchdowns, one of them defensive. Did I just blow your mind?
That's a bold move, Cotton.
but I think BYU wins this game. I think the defense wins this game if Tanner's not there. I think the defense plays really well, and I think this huge, you know, all this narrative of Utah State found their offense last week against San Jose State. Like, I think there are high school teams that could find their offense against San Jose State. So let's chill out with that narrative.
Slow your roll here, everybody.
Slow your roll a little bit. And I know I'm, please, before I get the hate tweets, I get it. San Jose State would obliterate, like, all the high school teams. I get it. It's called hyperbole.
It's called hyperbole. He does it a lot.
I do it a ton.
He does it constantly.
I don't.
There's no comment he ever makes that isn't hyperbole.
Nice. Well
done.
What
I did there.
Yeah. I saw what you did. Chase Blyle, that's at Chase Blyle on Twitter, says, what is the timeline of our schedule and changes we might see in our offensive coaching staff? Hashtag tweetbag. What I think Chase is asking is, when do we think Detmer gets fired?
That's the question, right? He's being really nice about it, but that's really what he's asking.
At the end of the season.
Yep.
They're not going to fire him during the season. But I, do you believe Ty Detmer is the offensive coordinator in 2018?
No, but I think they let him do the bowl game.
Yes, I think that's fair. I think that is probably true. I think, and I talked with this with a friend of the podcast, Alan Seawright. We haven't even talked about that. I was at Salt Lake Comic Con this past
weekend. I'm shocked that this hasn't come up yet, by the way.
But anyway, I was hanging out with Alan Seawright, who I sometimes do my other podcast with, which is Bleep the Podcast. We were talking about it. He's a huge BYU football fan and was the a director on that show, Inside BYU Football. Is that what it's called?
Remember what was the name of that? Yeah. Was that the name? I feel like that was not the name of the show. It was a good show, though.
But it was a good show. But anyway,
that episode when Taysom got hurt.
Yes.
Oh man, that was good television.
It was good television. Well done, Alan Seawright. But here's the thing. I totally lost. Oh yeah. We would have to show something from here to the end. Beat Mississippi State. And maybe at Boise State for sure, and maybe Mississippi State to save Detmer's job.
And you don't beat them by scoring defensive touchdowns, right?
No,
that's not
going to
do it.
You're going to have to have a good offensive game against Mississippi State, and quite frankly, against Boise State. Though Boise doesn't look like they're really that great, so you know, at home maybe not. But you're going to have to score something.
Yep.
Which, to your point. About the Utah State game, you just don't believe they're going to do much because they haven't, right? And that's not a bad belief to have, right?
It's a sad belief to have, but
so Matt, I saw a article on Lawless Republic. Need to give credit where credit's due to the author there, Sean Gordon. He basically says the present is painful, but the future looks bright, and he points out that there are 11 seniors. 17 juniors, 10 sophomores, and 9 freshmen who are playing meaningful downs. And basically what he's saying is, you know, next year we're going to have a very experienced team and that we've got a bunch of young guys who are highly recruited, who aren't playing a ton now or will be coming off missions or whatever else who will be playing. Matt, so has your overall – I'm not putting words in Sean's mouth, but – it's kind of like he's saying, yeah, this is a bad season, but overall I have faith in Kalani and in this team going forward. Matt, has this start to the season changed your long-term feelings about the program? Do you feel worse about it than you did the state of the program than you did 5 months ago?
I don't know that I do. And that when I look back 5 months ago and I think about the way we talked about this schedule – really, and we've talked about this at length, but the only surprise here is how things have shook out, right? The wins and losses aren't, none of this is shocking.
Nope.
The ineptitude of the offense is a surprise. So that's really what's causing the taste in everybody. And I think we've also talked about this fact that you don't get at BYU, you don't get your players that you recruited for several years.
Yep.
I believe in Satake. I believe in what he's trying to do with the program. I believe in Tom Homo and what he's doing with the program, right? So I think these are the right guys. I think they've got the right vision for the program. I think they understand who we are as a team and where we fit into the college football landscape realistically and what they can do to take advantage of the opportunities that are unique to the situation that we're in at this point. So I like those guys. I think we're headed in the right direction. I'm not sitting here ready to, you know, blow up the whole program and start over.
Oh, no, it hasn't really changed how I feel. It has changed how I think this season's going to go. As we talked about last week, I think we're going to drop a game to Utah State or Hawaii or maybe Fresno on the road. One of these three games we lose. And I didn't believe that at the beginning of the year. I just think when your offense is this poor, you're going to drop a game or two you shouldn't because you won't score enough points, right? So it's changed the short term for me. It has not changed the long term. I think they'll figure this out. If the offense is this bad throughout the year, we're going to have a different staff. And I hope that Satake is able to go out and get somebody who is inventive and original. And I know we're talking about like it's past tense, but Matt, is there a chance that Detmer stays?
It's possible. I don't know how likely it is at this point.
Well, I don't think it's very likely. And the whole thing about give them 3 years, you give him 3 years if he was ranked 80th in the country in offense, right? Not when he's ranked 120th in the country in offense. Like there's a point at which it's not about loyalty. It's about you've got to do something, and you can't. The quickest thing you can do is change coaching staff offensively. You can't like swap out all your players, right? Like you said about the recruiting thing, it takes a while to get that in. So Matt, let's talk about the rest of the season. Well, this isn't really about the rest of the season. Thomas Orock, that's at Thomas Orock on Twitter, asks this. Tweetbag, why does Adam say Awa'e weird? Is it related to how he says huge?
Huge, and now he says Houston.
And Houston. And humongous. Humid. Am I going to have to skip the podcast prior to the Hawaii game? Here's the thing. Don't we say Hawaii wrong? Like, we're not saying it like Hawaiians say it.
I believe that may be correct, but I don't know that you're saying it like Hawaiians say it either.
Okay, all right. How do you pronounce Hawaii? All right.
Hey, Siri. How do you pronounce Hawaii?
Let me think about that. Here's what I found. Take a look.
So I thought she would say it out loud. What did you find?
I'm not really good at like reading pronunciation things, but let's play this.
Things that I've got a degree in that, but
oh well, then you Google it and tell me.
I can't. Here do we go. Any of that. Come on, nobody actually uses their degree, do they?
Hold on. Here we go.
Hawaii.
Oh.
Hawaii.
Apparently, that's exactly. Hawaii. Apparently, I'm totally wrong. At least according to so anyway, I will stop saying it that way, Thomas, and you can listen to our Hawaii preview.
Actually, you know, here we go. Ready? So Hawaii in Hawaiian is properly written, and they show it, and then they explain that the apostrophe between the two I's stands for a glottal stop, which is a brief closure of the throat, like a little, like when you cough.
Hawaii? A?
No, you don't. It doesn't make a sound.
Oh,
it's just, but the vowel sound would get broken up by a gap of no sound. So it's actually not too far from the terrible, terrible thing that you've been doing.
Hawaii? So I don't know. I don't know. That's an excellent question. But how about this? I will just say Hawaii from now on. How's that?
Hawaii.
Yeah, that's the same one I just looked up and played. Thank you for playing it again. Very, very informative, Matt. Very helpful. All right. So, Matt, should we predict the rest of the season today or wait till after Utah State?
Let's wait till after Utah State. I don't know that we have any real new data.
Nope. Same here. Let's stick with it. So, Matt, great weekend in college football, which I saw very little of because I was people watching at Salt Lake Comic Con, among other things. By the way, there is some of the, and I did, you'll be able to hear some of the interviews on Bleep the Podcast if you listen to that. I interviewed a bunch of cosplayers, who many of whom spent a lot of time, but I'll share one really good story on this show. So I ran into a guy, and he and his buddy were in Hugo Montoya and the Dread Pirate Roberts.
And
he had
awesome.
Long hair, you know, like Inigo Montoya's, like Manny Patinkin's in the film, The Princess Bride. And I asked him, like, when he decided to do this. And he said, well, we decided last year at Comic-Con we were going to do this. He grew his hair out from, like, short to that just to play Inigo Montoya at Comic-Con.
That seems extreme to me.
That seems like the proper level of dedication to me. All right, Matt. So, our picks for the college football playoff. Drum roll, please.
Oh, here we go.
We both still have Alabama, right?
Yes, sir.
We both still have Clemson.
Wait. I'm going to say it again. You laughed at me for Clemson.
What are you talking about? I did not laugh at you for Clemson.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
You are ridiculous.
Roll back the tape.
You are ridiculous. You're never ridiculous. Do such a thing. All right, so I'm going to keep track of this from now on, okay? What we did last week, all right?
All right, yeah, you do that.
I'm not putting up with this anymore. All right. So we both have Bama, right?
Yep.
You are not stepping off the Alabama train.
No, I got Bama and Clemson still in there.
You are not worried about Alabama only beating Vanderbilt by 59 points.
No.
I thought it would be higher than that.
Does not concern me.
What about Clemson?
Still got Clemson.
All right. I also still have Clemson. I had Clemson last week. I think you're thinking of like 5 weeks ago or something weird. All right.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever. All right, Matt. So who's your third team?
I'm going to go with Penn State.
Penn State. The Nittany Lions. That's not a bad pick. Penn State. My third team, I'm going to go with Michigan. We both did Big Ten teams. That's new for me. I'm thrown in Michigan after they shut down Purdue, who had looked quite good coming into that game offensively, and they did not look good offensively against Michigan.
No, it was not as good.
All right, and your third team, fourth team.
Fight on. USC.
Oh, you're ridiculous.
You're ridiculous. Have you looked at their schedule?
Yeah, and I think they're going to drop two of those games. Okay, just one, but I'm exaggerating again. But I think they drop a game. Did you see them the week before? Almost lose at home?
That win's a win, and they all count.
Yeah, well, and also sometimes when you don't win by much, it shows you're going to lose one.
Sometimes it's about matchups. Still beat Stanford 42-24.
I'm going to go with Oklahoma as my fourth team.
Not a terrible pick.
Okay, so
just
incorrect. Who's your dark horse? Who's somebody that we're not talking about that we might be talking about come Final Four?
TCU.
TCU after the big showing against Oklahoma State. That's a good pick.
I mean, they'll have a shot at West Virginia, and then they're going to take a shot at Oklahoma. I think if they can win big in both those games, they might squeak in.
So I'm thinking San Diego State.
Just kidding. Stop. Stop. Oh, he's a comedian. No. He's got jokes. He's got jokes, everybody.
He's got jokes, everybody. I think the team that people might be sleeping on a little bit is, dare I say it?
No, don't do this.
Auburn.
You get two of them in there.
It's going to happen one of these years. You know, just statistically, I think you're going to have a team that gets two in there. But let's put it this way.
Yeah, but Auburn gets in if they beat Alabama?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's the thing, okay? So Auburn right now is at 3-1. They lost to Clemson, okay? Okay, so
yeah,
they
but if you
go,
beat Alabama at the end of the year, you could be forgiven of the Clemson loss.
Right? Right? And then Alabama, if they lose that and it's their only loss of the year, do they get shut out? I don't think they do. I think they make it. Certainly, and things would have to fall the right way, right? If Oklahoma goes undefeated and beats Oklahoma State and TCU, maybe a one-loss SEC non-champion doesn't make it, right? But what if Oklahoma, and it's a pretty good realistic possibility, drops one of those two games? So they're one loss.
And I think they will.
And what if nobody comes out of the Big Ten undefeated, which is also, I think, highly realistic. Okay? So if those things happen and this scenario falls out and Auburn, you know, only loses one game all year to Clemson and Alabama loses only one game all year to Auburn, I think that's what happens. I don't know.
That would be crazy.
I mean, they have been, the problem with Auburn is they've only played two teams, right? They played Mercer and Georgia Southern, right? So those games don't count and don't mean anything.
Does Mizzou really count at this point?
Probably not. So the whole like thing of falling apart about my argument is, there's a very good possibility they lose three games before they play Alabama, right? Mississippi State will be a tough one. LSU because it's, you know, in Baton Rouge, and then Georgia, who looks terrific. So somebody might say, well, Adam, why isn't your dark horse Georgia? Because they're not a dark horse at this point, right? People are talking about Georgia being in the college football playoff because they've got the same situation, except for this. They don't play Bama in the regular season. So say Georgia goes undefeated and then beats Bama in the SEC championship. That's your two-team SEC college football playoff, potentially. But I can also see people saying, well, if they get beat by Bama in the SEC championship, wasn't that already like the quarterfinals of the college football.
It's like a play-in game or something, right?
Yeah, but still. But I don't know. We'll see with Auburn because, I mean, their defense looked very good against Clemson, so they should be able to stay in any of these games the rest of the year. Of course, I say this, and then they're going to get the crap kicked out of them by Mississippi State this weekend. So much for my dark horse pick. Anyway, so Matt, anything else you want to share with the listeners before we sign off?
I will just throw out there that I attended a game in Death Valley Saturday night.
Oh, that's right. That's right. How was that?
And I highly recommend it for any college football fan.
Was anybody in cosplay?
No, but it was not. It was unlike Comic-Con in that respect. But even for Syracuse, it wasn't packed full, but it was pretty loud. A lot of pageantry, a lot of tradition. It's just cool to see a game in that stadium. It is huge, or as you would say, it is huge. We went out there about 11:30, tailgated with, it was just me and my oldest son. We tailgated all afternoon under a tent with fans and a TV going, watched college football, played cornhole and ladder ball and all afternoon. It was a good time. They go all out. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that is definitely very cool. So I would like to go to a game down there. So maybe I'll come visit you guys sometimes.
Come on down. Let's go.
Climb on in.
Climb on in.
Hashtag.
You climb on in, Adam.
Climb on in. Well, thank you guys for downloading and listening. Check out this show and other great shows at DeseretNews.com/podcast. As we said before, last week, hey, if you haven't gone to iTunes and given us a glowing review, go do that. You know, make it your mission in life.
Get on that.
Go out there and say, you know what? Those guys, they do it right. They do it right. They're like the team of Taysom Williams and Jamal Hill.
Really? You're gonna ride that for a while, aren't you?
Well, I mean, if you're still gonna ride, climb on in.
I've slept very little the past several days.
Well,
you know, cut me some slack.
Would it be very brotherly of you to brotherly of me to cut you slack?
It wouldn't. I actually would be disappointed. I would wonder if something was wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you everybody for downloading and listening. We both are picking the Cougars this weekend, so I think hopefully we've given you a little bit of hope. Thanks for doing that and doing what? I don't even know what I'm saying anymore.
You're still lost.
All right. Peace out!
Go Cougars!